Good morning. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day on this beautiful weekend. If I were in charge of the weather, this is what it would be year round, all the time. If you don't like that, tough. If you like it warmer, it's coming. I promise you that. If you like it colder, it's coming. I promise you that as well. But I just, this to me is just perfect weather. And I'm thanking God for this last week and this week to come. Beautiful days, cool evenings, it just doesn't get any better than that. And I know that God had us in mind when God spoke and everything came into being. Because God knew that there would be some people happy during the summer, some people happy during the winter, some people fussed up in the meantime. And I think that's why we've got those seasons. But what a great joy it is to have you here as we come to celebrate the gifts, the blessings, the temperatures from Almighty God. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let's rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
I'd like to offer a warm welcome to all those worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. If you are visiting with us today, please be sure to take a welcome packet from the shepherd's crook near the entrance to the sanctuary. As I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew and pass it to the others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center. If you notice that someone who is normally here on Sunday is missing, please make sure that you give them a call and let them know that they were missed. You may also write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the end of the pews for our ushers to bring forward to the pastor before the sharing of the joys and concerns. At this time, we have come to our moments of informality where we talk about the life and the mission of the church. I have a couple of announcements. One is there's no TAFC. Also, I'd like to point out that Saturday, as usual, at 6 o'clock is the alternative worship service. Please, if you have the chance, attend. I think it might be worthwhile for you. As usual, the standard call goes out that we are in need of help. I realize that some people go to the 8:15 service or the 8:30 service, and some go to the 10:55 service, but we need help all over. We need worship leaders for in the morning. We need sound technicians. We need vocalists if you want to sing by chance. Also, for the late service, we need choir and a lot of the same things. The worship leaders and the sound techs and ushers. Please, if you feel so inclined and have the time to be able to help us carry on our services, please see either the pastor or Diane, and they will get you to the right people. Are there any other announcements? Thank you. Thank you, Diane. If you would all please now stand and join me in the call to worship. Give ear to God's teaching. Incline your ears to parables and dark sayings of old. Do not hide them from your children. Tell the coming generations of God's glorious deeds. Come to the fount of living water. Drink deeply from the waters of life. Let us pray. Holy Mystery, grant us the courage to dive deep into the teachings of our ancestors, that we might fathom the depths of dark sayings of old. For we see in the stories of our ancestors the truth we would deny in our own story. We see your presence amidst their hopes and fears. We see the courage and it takes to truly lead. We see the humility it takes to follow in faith. We see life finding a way when all hope seems lost. The whispered truths of the dark sayings of old haunt our waking dreams, telling us that our lives would become if we but have the faith to believe. We believe, Great Spirit, help our unbelief. Amen. Let us now join in singing All Praise to Thee.
There you are. How's everyone today? Good. Is school going well? Yeah. Have you been raking any leaves yet? No. Playing in the leaves? No. Get all the leaves. Oh, you're going to go up into the tree to get all the leaves down. You started raking yesterday? Yeah, some of ours are coming down. Yeah. So you have a lot of leaves in your yard?
Yep.
Sometimes you can mow over them and they just get chopped up and leave them. That's the good way. Yeah. So if your teacher or mom or dad tells you to do something, do you always listen? Oh, you always listen to your teacher, not always to your mom and dad. Oh, I see mom and dad smiling. So sometimes there are certain people you listen to and maybe sometimes to other. Oh, you listen to your mom, but not your dad. I see how that goes. I'll bet that just changed. You listen to your mom and dad, but not your brother. Yeah, that's kind of common. Like now, if I would tell you to do something, would you listen? Even if it was silly, like pat your head, rub your tummy? Yeah, all right. Well, you know, there's a story. You can stop now. Sounds like Simon Says. There's a story where there are two brothers. All right, now maybe today we could say a brother and a sister because we've got groups here where there's brothers and sisters or just one. Yes, yep. And the mom, well, in this story, it was just sister. You have a sister, sister, brother. I think they're sister, sister. You are a brother. Yeah. And three sisters in him, two sisters in him. Where did you go to count? Yeah. You're still learning that in school. So in this story that Jesus tells, there is, we'll make it a little more current, but we'll say there's a mom and a dad and brothers and sisters, and the brothers and sisters are told to do something. And the first one says, sure, I'll go do that. And then later on goes, no, I'm not going to. Did you ever do that? Yeah, you get distracted. Go clean your room. Okay, I will. And then suddenly half an hour later, you're down watching TV. Yeah. And then the other one was told to go do something and said, no, I'm not going to go do that. And then later on felt bad and went ahead and did what they were asked to do. So who did the right thing? Oh, you did the right thing. Oh, okay. Well, when you cleaned your room, shoving it all under the bed doesn't count. Yeah, that doesn't count. Did you? I used to do that. You just push it all under the bed and say it's clean. See, that doesn't work. No, it's got to be put away or all your toys get thrown away. Put them in a bag and give them to Goodwill. Yeah. You're going to clean your room when you get home? You too? Okay. I'm going to ask next week if you did it. Does it need done? Yeah. Abigail worked on hers yesterday too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So remember when you cleaned, yesterday must have been room cleaning day or it's room cleaning weekend. Yeah, I lost control. I know that. It's room cleaning weekend and that's of far greater importance than anything I have to say. Okay. Well, you're not cleaning all weekend though? No. Now, this afternoon, though, there's a football game on today, right? You don't like Saturdays because Saturday's clean your room day. Well, if you cleaned your room all during the week, you wouldn't have to clean it on Saturday. Oh, my. Wow. Imagine that. Keep it clean during the week. Yeah. So the gist of the story is what we can learn in the story is when mom and dad tell us to do something, we need to do it. When God tells us to do something, we need to do it. Yeah, that doesn't work either because then you open the closet one day and all this stuff comes out. Now, parents, you all know we have a little different scenario there. There are those things in our lives that we need to take care of and we never do. We, the analogy, we shove them in the closet and then one day it all comes tumbling in. So, you know, we do that as well, just in different ways. All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's try this. Here, everybody do this. Ready? Because I have to pray. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for these children. We pray when it comes to listening to you that we would be as enthusiastic. When it comes to voicing your good news, oh God, we pray that we would be as enthusiastic as these children. Continue to bless them. Continue to work your wonders in their lives. Continue, oh God, to bless their moms and dads and all those that care for them every day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that my people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" I would like everyone to please turn in their hymnals to page 886 and join me in the World Methodist Social Affirmation. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of Earth's resources. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people, because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, love, and hope, praying that God's kingdom may come. At this time, I invite the ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings. Thank you.
of glory and majesty, help us to see our place in your creation with humility and grace. Help us to receive your grace and love with gratitude, and let it flow through our being to everyone we meet. Holy God, may the tithes and offerings we bring to your altar this day not be a testimony to our worthiness, but to our readiness. Readiness to be emptied of pride, that we might be instruments of your peace, love, and compassion in our hurting world. We pray in the blessed name of Jesus, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. To the best of my knowledge, we don't have anyone in the hospital at this time. That's always great to announce, but know that that can change at the drop of a hat very quickly. So always your prayers during this week would be for those who perhaps have had medical emergencies or are in transition with their care and their treatments. If you look on the back page of our worship folder, you'll see individuals listed there in personal care homes, those that we continually seek to pray for, and then those on a rotational basis on the month, as well as our service personnel there at the bottom. And also have been handed this morning, Bob to remember in prayer, is dealing with cancer. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits as we sing our prayer hymn together this morning.
Thank you.
gracious and loving God, how good it is to once again be in your house. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, O God, we know that you are here, that you have greeted us and welcomed us with wide open arms. O God, we know that you call us to trust and obey every day. We want to trust you. We want to obey you. But, oh God, our humanness gets in the way and trips us up. We don't always do what you call or encourage or challenge us to do. We don't always use the gifts of your Spirit to bring honor and glory to your kingdom. We don't always share the good news with people. After all, we can't imagine that you want them in your church. We know, oh God, that your Son, Jesus Christ, said to us that there is no male or female, no Greek or slave, there just aren't boundaries. Your Son, Jesus Christ, has come into the world for all of us. And we, oh God, are called and encouraged and challenged to make the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ come alive in our lives every single day. For those times, O God, when sin creeps in, we pray for your grace and your forgiveness. But that, O God, does not give us the right to do it over and over again, because then that becomes cheap grace. And we know that the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, was not cheap, but it was costly. It cost him his life. And may we be mindful of that every single day that we live out our lives. Oh God, we are thankful for your grace and your forgiveness that redeems us, that restores us, that offers to us a new life every single day. And you challenge us then and send us forth into the world to do better, to do it all over again. We pray for the mission and ministry of each individual, each family that is represented here this day. Oh God, we pray for the mission and ministry of your church. We pray that the light of Christ might radiate forth from within each and every one of us, that others might see and experience the light of Christ before we even open our mouths. Oh God, we pray for the hurts, for the needs around the world. We pray for the comfort of your people. We do pray, O God, that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. O God, we pray for the health and wholeness of people, for the healings of individuals, for the healings of the nations. O God, continue to bless us and use us this week, wherever it is that we will find ourselves, that you will send us. We pray that as doors are open before us, as hearts and minds and spirits yield to your presence and your authority, O God, might we be prepared through your Spirit to respond. O God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to invite you now to hear these words that great servant in the church, Paul, has for us. These words that he wrote to the church that has been called Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Yes, even death on a cross. And therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work within you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your servant Paul that shaped this young church, that shaped the scriptures. We pray, O God, that his words and teachings might indeed have a claim upon our lives and our everyday living. Oh God, give us a sense of rest and peace and comfort from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever had a conversation with today's children to see what they consider or will consider old-fashioned? I see our children have left our downstairs. As I'm looking out over, there's a few left, but probably none of them have ever grown or had to use a typewriter. How many of you remember those babies? How many of you were excited when they came out with electric ones? You didn't have to push so hard. Today's kids have never been without a smartphone, never been without McDonald's. I remember when the McDonald's first came to my hometown. I think one of their sales pitch was, dinner for mom and dad and two children, you get change back from your $5 bill. No more. $5 won't even get one person a meal. Remember telephones before we had cell phones. Remember being tethered because of the cord. First time my mom and dad got a cordless phone, my dad called his mom, grandma, that lived right next to us. He was talking to her as he walked to her house, and he entered her home, and she's talking to him and looked at him and said, "How did you do that?" Many of you grew up with a party line. Many used to sit in the afternoon for entertainment and listen in on the neighbor's conversations. You kept a pillow or a cloth over the receiver so they couldn't hear you breathing. Or, God forbid, Calling Graham was horrible because I remember being frustrated as a child. She was on the same party line. You picked it up, you dialed a 2 or 3 or 4 digit number, hung it up, and then it would ring at her house and your house. And when it was done ringing, you know she picked it up. Oh, mom, you dial the phone. In 100 years from now, what's going to be considered obsolete? Holographic communications? Teleporting? 3D printers, robots with artificial communication? Will wealthy people 100 years from now be able to make genetic selections for their children? Will we have a base, a community on Mars? I remember in grade school thinking probably by now we would have been on the moon. Will you be able to log on to your computer directly from your brain just by thinking? That's frightening. Will cars be able to really park themselves and just go where we want them to go without a driver, somehow like our GPSs tell us where to go in a nice way? Perhaps the children of the 22nd century will be excited over some more, well, common, everyday things. Maybe there will be transparent toasters. Maybe there will be a self-cooling can of beer. Oh, Pepsi or Coke, we're in church. Cell phones maybe are going to charge themselves. Maybe laptop computers are going to be like a thin piece of paper. But of all the futuristic predictions, there is one that is predicted not to change. That would be human nature. As far as biblical and historical evidence has shown, human nature with its me first attitude has not changed since Adam and Eve were in the garden. And it seems very unlikely that it's going to change in the next 100 years. And that brings us to today's text. Whereas in 100 years from now, we might expect the world to be different in many ways, and there are going to be some cool things, some cool stuff that would be great to have right now, there is no doubt that we are going to have trouble putting the welfare of others ahead of our own. In today's scripture, Paul talks to the Philippian Christians about at least eliminating rivalries. Be of the same mind, he writes, having the same love, being of one full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. In short, Paul is encouraging and challenging them to live in ways that are appropriate to the Gospels, ways in which reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Now, why would Paul even need to say that to Christians? Aren't church people always nice and Christ-like? You didn't chuckle. Today's services have not chuckled like last night did. Even in the early church, just as in congregations today, people don't see eye to eye on everything. We church people are real people, and we have honest beliefs on every subject. In some cases, our beliefs line up together, and in other cases, they just don't. And that's true even when we seek to line up our beliefs of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And so while we as a congregation may be trying to have the same mind as was in Christ Jesus, we as individual Christians differ about politics, social problems, lifestyle decisions, the interpretation of the Bible, worship styles, and a host of other matters, and the list goes on. Because after you've been in a church long enough, after we preachers have been in churches long enough, we know that when we say things, some of you aren't going to be happy about it because we hear about it at the receiving line. Or we get a phone call, or we get now emails or voicemails. I mentioned those Pearly Q light bulbs 10 years ago in a sermon and royally fussed somebody up big time. He wanted equal time in the pulpit over a light bulb. Holy smokes. When it becomes bad enough, when it gets out of hand, churches and even denominations split. And sadly, my friends, there's no reason to think that in the next 100 years, it's going to be any different. So what can we do? Well, Paul says that Jesus Christ is to be our common ground, and we are to have a shared desire to follow him. even though we may differ in some of our beliefs, we can still have a unity of spirit that makes us want to put others in our group first and beyond our own interests. In fact, it was this unity of the spirit as something that God gives to us so that we can seek God together within the church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer referred to this unity of the spirit that can accompany the life of the church as the meeting grounds of Christianity. Now, Paul is not saying that the people in the Philippian church were not sincere in their faith and in their daily living. Paul is calling and challenging them to keep growing and to keep maturing in the faith, to keep moving after the example that they read about, that they hear about in Jesus Christ. John Wesley would call it moving on towards perfection, to be made perfect in our Christian love. My friends, coming to church, coming to worship, singing, praying, studying, hearing God's word should all be a time of encouragement. We come to encourage each other to keep growing and maturing in our faith. We will guaranteed stumble then and again. When we try to take those things that we read about, that we know God is discerning for us, and to apply them in our daily lives and living, we are going to stumble. After all, the humility that enables us to regard others as better than ourselves does not just come naturally for most of us. But even when we fail, we should not chuck our commitment, our desires, our intentions out the window, because in the life of the church, we have this wonderful thing that's called grace and forgiveness that enables us to begin again with every new moment that we have and experience. So what about 21:14? None of us, except maybe, well, there's one, maybe two, we'll probably get there. But it's likely that human nature's not going to significantly change between now and then. The me first tendency that has goofed up our lives and marks humankind will likely still be around and affecting individuals and congregations. But our concern today is not really a century from now. Our concern is with 2014. So let's make it 2014, a Christian growth goal for the rest of the year, and perhaps even into infinity and beyond, to work for the sake of Jesus Christ, to work toward living together with our fellow Christians in a humble, in humility and in gratitude, to know that their presence is with us, and to know that the needs of others are beyond our own. To discover what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, these others around us can become a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. May we have the mind of Christ as we go into the world. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we admit that our humanity gets in the way. Our selfishness, our wants, our desires trip us up. And we don't always have the mind of Christ. But you, O God, have created us in your image. And that means that it's tucked away somewhere in each of us. O God, we pray that through your Spirit, we might tap into this mind of Christ so that each and every day we might become more and more like him, moving on to perfection. Continue, O God, to bless us, to strengthen us, to anoint us as faithfully we go. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand now and sing our closing hymn, number 561, Jesus United by Thy Grace. Thank you. Gracious and loving God, you are the hope of the whole world. And we pray that your mind, the likeness of Christ, might be blossoming within each and every one of us as you send us into the world. Might we be united together by the grace that we've experienced through Christ our Lord, and seek to offer that grace as well to the world. Where we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.